Good morning, Crosswinds. I just want to take 1 second to say thank you. You all have given me and my family such a warm welcome about a month ago, and we are just so glad to be here. And I really couldn't think of a more warm and hospitable environment and community to be a part of for this last year of my seminary journey. So thank you for saying yes to this intern. I appreciate it. Today, I want to talk about how God is always working. Maybe you have noticed this. So as you go through your days and weeks, something will happen, and maybe it's insignificant, or maybe it really grabs your attention, but something awakens you to the working of the divine in your life. This week, I was thinking about a specific time in my life when that happened, when my faith kind of became my own. And it was after I had become a mother, so Wade was just a baby. And I had been raised in the church. My husband and I both grew up in the same church, and we believed in God and Jesus. But there was a connection that was missing for me between my faith and my heart. And becoming a mother awakened a desire in me to make my faith my own and to take it more seriously. So Will and I started attending church on a regular basis, and I remember one Sunday the pastor did a sermon on 10 reasons you should read your Bible, and I don't remember 9 of those reasons, but one stuck out to me, and it was this. It was, if you say you believe in the Bible, then you should know what it says, and I felt so humbled and so convicted in that moment. Because after all, I had grown up in a Christian family, going to church, went to a little Christian school. And so if you had asked me, I would have said, the Bible is God's living word, right? God's truth written down for us. So I went home that week and I made a Bible reading plan with the goal of reading it in 1 year's time. And this commitment to reading every day became something I looked forward to. And I started to fall in love with God and with the pages of Scripture. And the stories came alive to me. The narrative of the Old Testament, the stories of the Israelites, Jesus' words and actions, I found perplexing sometimes, but altogether, I found myself falling in love with God and with Jesus and wanting to live a life of faith. And there was one day, as I was reading out of the book of James, and something happened. It's hard for me to articulate even now, but I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. I could feel her in the room with me, in my body. And it was a feeling of elation, of deep love, and wonderment. And I'll never forget it. It marked me in a way. It seared that experience into my being. And for me, it marked the beginning of my faith journey. So today, the text that I want to read to you kind of centers around a similar story. It's much more exciting than mine, than most of us will ever experience. But it's through the writings of Luke that we get to witness Simon Peter's call to faith. So let me read to you from the Gospel of Luke. And this is chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And this is in the Message translation written by Eugene Peterson. Once when he was standing on the shore of Lake Genesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed 2 boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat, that was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done, a huge haul of fish straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner. I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. And it was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." Then they pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. This text, I think, from Luke invites us to go back to where we started. For Simon, this wasn't his first introduction to Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, we're told that Jesus went to Simon's house, and while he was there, they asked him to help Simon's mother-in-law, who was sick. And Jesus acted, and he healed her on the spot. And I find it interesting how we can experience different moments and extract greater meaning in one from another. So why did the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law evoke awe? Why was it Simon able to see Jesus' divinity in the fish, the abundance of fish, and not in the miracle of healing? We can't know. We don't know why. And why did reading James bring me into the presence of God? I have no idea, but I know that it happened. And it's these first moments when we said yes in our heart, in our mind, if we can feel it in our body. And it's the moment this life of faith makes sense that has power. And we all have stories to tell. And some don't have one experience to point to, but they can look back and they can clearly see God's hand providing, guiding, and comforting at different times in their life. And I believe there is power in this practice, in recalling the moments we knew God was at work. It can serve a backbone and a structure for the mission of our lives and the work of the kingdom that we're called to. After all, Simon Peter did go on to catch people in the name of Jesus, but he did not know what that all entailed. He did not know he would be the leader of the church and go on to encourage and build a foundation that we still take part in today. The truth is, God is always spurring us on to continually reorient us for our next call, our next mission. And we often get stuck. It's human nature. We get comfortable with how things are in our faith, our life, our relationships. And the thing is the Spirit never gets stuck. It's not in her vocabulary. She is on the move, working in our hearts and minds, in our relationships and our ways of doing and being that draws us further into the kingdom, into God's mission of mercy and justice for ourselves and our families, for this community and for our world. This is our work. When we get stuck and comfortable with how things are, she's there calling us on to the next thing. And these experiences, our faith stories, serve as fuel for our next steps. And they empower us with truth and help us to continue the path of reorienting our lives for what is next. I have this quote. I love this quote from Anne Lamott, and it's in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers. It says, if we stay where we are, where we're stuck, where we're comfortable and safe, we die there. We become like mushrooms living in the dark with poop up to our chins. If you want to know only what you already know, you're dying. You're saying, leave me alone. I don't mind this little rat hole. It's warm and dry. Really, it's fine. When nothing new can get in, that's death. When oxygen can't find a way in, you die. But new is scary, and new can be disappointing and confusing. And we had this all figured out, and now we don't. New is life. That's Anne Lamott. So God is always at work, always up to something. And our moments in time that have become a memory, they serve a great purpose in helping us to remember God's work in our lives. After all, God's not done. So let us not be stuck or too comfortable to think about what's next. Let's take a moment and recall and remember the moments in our lives and the lives of others that reminds us of God's holy power at work in this world. And let us be swayed to the work that we're being called to now. Because after all, new is life. Amen.